Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, another week and I'm still recording at home in the midst of this pandemic, but movies are still being released, just not theatrically. So this week I'm looking at three new indie films that celebrate the unusual. There's a psychedelic pilot in outer space, a man with dementia retreating into his innermost thoughts, and a radical relook at the disabled in film. Blood Machines, directed by Seth Ickerman. Okay, it's the distant future on a desolate planet in outer space. Spaceship is headed by Vaskin, played by Anders Heinrichsen, and second-in-command Lago, played by Christian Eriksen, along with a glowing metallic robot as its brain. It's a ramshackle outfit held together with nuts, bolts, and duct tape, but they're surprised one day by a huge snake-like machine that crash-lands on the planet nearby. Vaskin ventures out to neutralize it, but he's stopped by a small group of all-female warriors, their hair dyed bright red. "Don't hurt her," they say, referring to the AI-powered machine. Her? And when Vaskin attacks the machine, something remarkable happens. A naked woman emerges from the wreck and flies up into the sky. She has a flawless body with the image of a crucifix upside down, glowing, covering her groin and lower torso. What is she? A friend or foe? And why is she there? Blood Machines is a surreal, psychedelic science fiction fantasy told in three short chapters. The lines are delivered in clunky comic book fashion, accompanied by brilliant electronic music, played by Carpenter Brute. Vaskin looks like an angry Jared Kushner in a tailored suit with members-only epaulettes, while Lago is more like the original Scotty on Star Trek, but with a hangover. They're later joined by Corey, played by Alyssa Lasowski, who adds rivalry and sexual tension to the mix. That giant laser gun that Vaskin likes to brandish, it keeps malfunctioning when Corey's close by. There are holograms, fight scenes, writhing naked bodies. There's not much of a story to speak of, but it doesn't matter. It's saturated with hot pinks, violets, and acid greens, powered by constant musical thrumming, and loaded with endless science fiction tropes, everything from Fritz Lang's Metropolis to Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's beautiful to watch and to listen to. The Road's Not Taken, written and directed by Sally Potter. Leo, played by Javier Bardem, is a middle-aged man who is not all there. He lives in a Spartan New York apartment beside the L train. His daughter Molly, played by Elle Fanning, a career woman in her 20s, has the morning off to take him to the dentist and the eye doctor. But when she arrives, he's almost comatose. He barely responds to her questions. Is he just a hollow vessel with no spark inside? In fact, his mind is elsewhere. It's caught between two other lives progressing simultaneously. In one alternate reality, he lives with his first love, Dolores, played by Salma Hayek, who he left decades ago in an adobe home in the desert with rose-colored walls and bars on the window. She wants him to come with her to a Day of the Dead celebration to communicate with someone they both lost. In a second life, he's a novelist in a picturesque Greek island where he writes and chats with tourists in open-air tavernas. But back in the present day, his life is miserable. He's prone to wander at night barefoot and unaware. At the dentist, he drinks the mouthwash and wets his pants. He calls strange women Dolores. Can Molly get through to her dad, and can he accept reality, or will he retreat permanently into the inner recesses of his mind? The Road Not Taken is a grim look at the miserable life of a man suffering from dementia, living an existence he regrets, mitigated, though, by the kindness of his daughter and the vibrant world he lives in inside his head. I have mixed feelings toward this movie. On the positive side, it has a stellar cast. Javier Bardem, Elle Fanning, Salma Hayek, and Laura Linney as his ex-wife. But the narrative is fragmented among the three worlds and not entirely satisfying. Elle Fanning is sympathetic, but come on, how many times can a character in a movie have tear-streaked cheeks? She never seems to turn off the waterworks. She's just constantly weeping. The musical score is great, and the cinematography is really effective. There's a constant movement going on. Taxis, trains, pickup trucks, that neatly ties the different scenes and worlds together. Still, this movie just didn't deeply move me. Sally Potter is a great director, but this film, well, it's not one of her best. Code of the Freaks, directed by Salome Chasnoff. Are disabled people hideous villains or saintly childlike freaks who need to be rescued? People with secret superpowers or ones who desire either to die or to be cured? Well, all of the above if you go by Hollywood movies. New documentary looks at 100 years of film portrayals of people with disabilities and finds it sorely lacking in real life characters. The doc consists of movie clips, everything from The Miracle Worker to The Rain Man to My Left Foot, alternating with brilliant commentary by artists, writers, academics, and activists. There's no groupthink going on here, more of a cross-section of ideas from the community, and it covers very wide ground. Like the portrayal of sex and disabilities, white women are eroticized by upping their vulnerability, while black men are neutered, made non-threatening and asexual. And as one commentator points out, one thing you virtually never see are two disabled people having sex with each other. Why? It's almost a taboo. Blind people have superpower hearing abilities, like in Daredevil, or they seem to have a carnal need to touch another's faces. Why? If you have a mental illness or disability, you have no self-control and are liable to explode at any moment, so you have to be either institutionalized or killed before you hurt someone, like in the movie Of Mice and Men. Little people are basically made into figures of fun. Wheelchairs are made symbols of limitation, as opposed to the vehicle that people use to get around in. Are drivers ever described as confined to cars? I doubt it. The doc pinpoints some of the most offensive movements of all, skewering that hateful movie Million Dollar Baby, in which the heroine valiantly chooses death over living with a disability. Oh my God. It's a running theme in the documentary that a happy ending in a drama with a disabled character means they're either cured, institutionalized, or killed. That's a happy ending. Even worse are the dreadful inspirational movies where people are congratulated, disabled people are congratulated for the bravery just for existing instead of portraying them as real people. The one thing you never see are disabled characters portrayed by disabled actors, though that's gradually improving. Probably because roles like these are too valuable as Oscar bait for the big stars. Code of the Freaks is a scathing look at Hollywood's portrayals of disabilities and a radical rethink of the whole genre. This is a must-see documentary for all moviegoers, disabled or not, everywhere. The Road Not Taken is available now on video on demand. Code of the Freaks was the opening night film at the Real Abilities Film Festival in Toronto. And Blood Machines is now streaming on Shudder. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.